You about ready? This is Marty Ford. I got my Elvis voice tonight. Thank you very much. I got a little bit of a deep sound to it, a little resonance. And if I have a little friendly phlegm interrupt me during the next hour, you'll understand, because we all go through that. But this is my radio show, You About Radio, You About Radio, You About Ready, live on bbsradio.com, across the nation, around the world, from up your block and down your alley. I'm coming to you live from the beautiful downtown basement bar of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tatsawa Station, another fast-moving 60-minute powerhouse hour before you shower to leave you smelling fresh and refreshed, like soon the upcoming hope to be born again, nature's flowers. We talked about that before. Soon, we're hoping. The vortex is gone from the East Coast, we hope, not to return until whenever. But I think El Nino or La Nina or whichever one is coming is going to heat us up in the summer. So we're going to try to enjoy a little bit of dry, warm weather in the next few days, and we'll see what comes on after that. This is the hour of power I mentioned before for you to listen, learn, and laugh, to enhance, enrich, enlighten, and empower your world, to learn critical thinking, because when we think critically, not to criticize, but we think critically about our world and the world around us, we come out whole. We feel good about ourselves, and we make right decisions. And nobody ever went wrong doing the right thing and making the right decisions for ourselves, because what's right for us isn't right for the next person. So you empower yourself by listening, learning, and laughing along with us for the next 60 minutes on my radio show, You About Ready. And we want to not only critically think, we want to empower you. We want you to be able to accomplish more than you ever thought possible and have fun doing it. The journey to success doesn't have to be all work. It is all work. And it's not easy, because if it was easy, then everybody would be doing it. We know that's not true. But you can have fun. You can learn to laugh, especially at yourself. No better person to laugh at and with than yourself. And we also want to help you learn ways to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. Because when you're bored, you're going down. You're eating the chips, you're laying on the couch, you're Xboxing, you're being brainwashed by all the stuff on the rectangular brainwashing box in front of you with 900 channels and nothing of importance to watch or listen to. Same stuff repeated over and over again. Which one is doing the Malaysian airline thing ad nauseum for the past 2 weeks? Like, it's all time. They're glued to it. They can't get off it. They're so deeply involved, they can't remove themselves until there was what? Resolution. And, of course, the cliche word, closure. We want closure. Not from the news media point of view, but those poor families suffering and struggling with the unknown. Very sad out there. But we want to help you fight boredom, the enemy of us all, and we want to bring out, really extract it, like I've had teeth extracted. Tomorrow I got to go back to the dentist at 7 in the morning Eastern time. So I can't eat until lunchtime tomorrow. But I hope there's no extractions, although there's a little bit of discomfort in there. It's like we want to extract the kid in you. We want to pull it out of you. We want you to be reborn as a child, as a kid, where play was such an integral part of your life. So important, where you learned life lessons, where you learned how to play and share, and argue, and resolve conflicts instead of going to the head jockey for anger management and leadership and commitment and dedication and resiliency. All the power words from my book, Power Up Your Power, that we need to have in our lives so we can become empowered. I can take you fishing, but if I do all the work, you ain't eating tomorrow because I'm not there. So you got to do it for yourself. And when you do the little things in life, the big things will follow. Bend down and pick up those pennies. You'll get the dollars, right? Clean up your world, clean up your life, and move on. Overcome obstacles. Skillfully learn how to handle and manage and deal with your struggles, because we all have them. Anybody tells you they don't have obstacles, they don't have problems, they don't have issues, problems, concerns, and struggles is a liar, a fool, or both, and you don't want them in your life. They're going to bring you down the way bullies do. They're going to bring you down. Get away from them. Move on with your life. Get out. Get up. Get out and get going. That's what you want to do. Also, that's the mission and the purpose, and that's why we're here. We want you on your feet. Are you steady and ready? Please pass on that Apple Betty. Time for another fastest 60-minute round. There's so much that's about to go down. Coming from me, your host, an aged, yes, aged class clown. Switching you to smile instead of frown. Time to listen, learn, and laugh as we travel together down this path. Put it all together, it all adds up when you do the math. You'll like yourself for what we and you do. Enhance, enrich, enlighten, empower your world. There are no secrets, just a valuable clue or two. Some of my stuff is serious, some you've heard on my shows previous. Most is all new, made by me, and just for you. As we continue the journey, well beyond the March Madness tourney, this thing I do, it's all about you, full, wholesome, and complete. Moving on with your life, never again to retreat. That's what we want to do. That's our purpose. Because I am, as I said many times on the radio show, the original American Idol. Though I am not original, for to be original, you must create language. All I do is tell you what has often been said, but never so well expressed. Thanks, Billy Shakespeare, for that tidbit of valuable information. So we're moving on to our traditional structure here. You have to have structure in your life. You can deviate from it. It doesn't have to be perfect. As we know, perfect doesn't exist. Don't be nuts going for perfect. It doesn't happen. Everything is perfect that you see in the world because it's manufactured and made up mostly on your big rectangular black entertainment, so-called entertainment, brainwashing box, especially those nasty cooking shows. And where the heck can you rebuild a house in an hour? I don't understand that. It takes 6 months if you're going to do a good job, right? At least. They rehab and refurbish these houses overnight. They use time-lapse photography, and boom, it's done, presto, and now you got to make the big decision, and the drama comes in. That doesn't work. That's not reality. All those reality shows are non-reality shows, just the way social media is asocial, because we don't know how to communicate. Even though you cannot not communicate, we don't know how to communicate as a culture. We're getting further and further apart, and it's terrible. We're losing insight to ourselves, and when we lose insight to ourselves, we can't have it with others. So be aware, be alive, get up, get out, get going, become empowered, think critically, and laugh and be a kid and have fun. We always want to start with a critical thinking brain buster. Last week's was, very simply, a short one. What happens when you throw a blue stone into the Red Sea? Now, I know many people said it sinks, it makes a splash, it turns purple. All of the above could and might be true. But the thing that happens the very moment it hits the water is it gets wet, just like you do when you jump in the pool or go into the shower. You get wet. So what happens when you throw a blue stone in the Red Sea? Gets wet. This week, a little bit more of a challenge that I think, anyway. What can travel around the world while staying in the corner? And I know many of you have traveled all around the world, and I've done a little traveling regionally in America where I learned new words like soda is what we call it on the East Coast, and if you go to the Midwest, it's pop. Further out west, it might be pop or just plain Coke. And various sandwiches are called different things too, as we mentioned before. The sub, the torpedo, the hoagie, the Zeppelin, the grinder, the Cuban, and of course, the po' boy or po' boy. Now, can travel around the world while staying in the corner? This week's tidbit of useless information, because you never know when you're going to need an icebreaker and someone say, I need something to say to get to know someone because I'm shy or bashful or embarrassed or reluctant. So you need something to break the ice. You need to make a fool of yourself a little bit and laugh at yourself and have others will laugh at you. And you know what? People like to laugh. Humor is probably the number one attraction in people once you get beyond the physical and the chemistry and the lust. Even if it's just in your heart, like Jimmy Carter et al, right? Tidbit of useless information. Beetles taste like apples. Wasps taste like pine nuts. And worms taste like fried bacon. I don't know who the Consumer Reports taste testing people were or one of these market research panels that you get $80 to $100 for 2 hours to sit there and do these things. Maybe the companies have it. But to me, I don't know. Beetles taste like apples. Wasps taste like pine nuts. Worms taste like fried bacon. And you thought everything tasted like chicken. Well, I can tell you dog tastes like chicken because I've eaten dog. Don't jump all over me. Don't get crazy. It wasn't here in America. I was living overseas in the Philippines. I was 19 years old, working among a lot of local national Filipinos and Negritos at Clark Air Base while I was in the military, Air Force. And one fellow's father had a restaurant. He used to bring like what they used to call it, a brick of rice, not a brick of wheat or anything else, a brick of rice, some vegetables, and some meat, and a little gravy. And we would share, and I would bring cigarettes or candy or health and beauty aids or food from the, they like American-type pizza, and which I don't know where that comes from, but they like that. So I'd bring stuff, and we'd exchange. We had a little community there. And then we play 10-cent blackjack afterwards during lunch. So this one fella said, you know, in a couple of months, you're going to eat dog. I said, all right, well, whatever it is here. So a few months later, in the middle of the card game, he said, hey, Port, remember I said there's cultural differences, and the P and the F in the Philippines, in Tagalog, when they translate, it's the my name is Ford. It was pronounced Pord, P-O-R-D. Hey, Pord, did you like lunch today? Yeah, it was great. What'd you have? So you had your brick of rice, a little brick of rice, had some fried egg, had some cooked vegetables, and some chicken. Nah, it wasn't chicken. Well, it was beef. I don't know. Nah, it wasn't beef. Well, it was pork. Nah, it wasn't pork. Well, what the heck was it then? He goes, woof, woof, woof. I said, oh, my goodness. And I washed it down with some soda, and I was fine. So whether or not it was or it wasn't, I ate it, and it did taste like chicken. In fact, all the other meats that they made with some sauce and gravy on it taste like gloppity-glop chicken. That's a tidbit of useless information. Moving on to cliches. Cliches, as we always say, are our cultural modern-day profanity, curse words, and poo-poo talk. We just overuse them, abuse them, and get tired. I'm tired of listening to them. And I hope you listen closely while you're watching your rectangular brainwashing box, whatever it is, and you'll hear the regular ones. You know, at the end of the day, if it's about the military, you have boots on the ground, and they want to ramp things up, and transparency, and all the ones that you hear over and over again, same page, next level, etc., etc. So we take the, instead of coming up with more creative, critically thought out language, we just say the same thing. You know, before I said what is often said, but so never well expressed. Well, the cliches are often said, but they are not well expressed. They're boring, right? And the people who use them are boring. They're big blowhards on the TV that get paid a lot of money to entertain us with their crapola, with their nonsense, with nothing that has anything significant meaning in our and your life. So shut it off. Get up, get out, and get going. So this week we have just a few because we don't want to take up too much time. Go big or go home. My wife has never said that because I'm always home. The big part never happens, even if you take a little blue pill, which I will not do. Because Herm the Worm, that little one-eyed, bald-headed devil, he's still working at 63. And I think a lot of more guys would have fewer problems with that if they got up, got out, and got going and put down the wine glass and got away from the buffet table and did something good for themselves. Take care, a pill will not cure everything. It'll help, right? But think about what you're bringing to the table. Meet them halfway. Same as healthcare. Healthcare is easy. We talked about that before. And we have a way to pay for it and raise money and give people an opportunity to win money playing a national lottery. And I'll talk about that maybe in a future show. If you want to hear me bellow on about that, listen to some of my previous shows by going to www.bbsradio.com/youboutready. www.bbsradio.com/youboutready, and just search through and listen to some of my shows. You'll hear me go on about the national healthcare business plan as well as the national healthcare lottery. It's called the 2-year health lottery. You get healthcare and you get a chance to win some money in the national lottery. So you want healthcare, but you want to, let's look at your receipts through the loyalty cards. What are you buying out there? Everything in a bag, box, or container, fried, processed, and loaded with the two most dangerous white powdery substances out there, salt and sugar, and all the other fat things. And that's what they show you on TV. So you figure, hey, it's good to eat. And just look at the size of some of these people on these cooking shows. It's pathetic. And what they make is pathetic. And what they shove in their mouth is pathetic. Right? Go back to the basics. Keep things simple. Right? And simple works best. That's why everybody gets along with me, from kids to seniors and way beyond. They like the simple things in life, and that's what you get from me, simplicity. Now, cliche, it's the best. She's the best. He's the best. What determines what's best? There's always a poll, and everyone eventually wins and becomes the best at something, but who determines that? I never recommend a restaurant or a movie or anything like that because my taste might not be like yours. In fact, according to most people, I have no taste. But it's very bothersome to me to recommend something like a movie today, especially at $12 or $15 a seat for one person. I would feel awful if they didn't like it. So judge for yourself. And not everything is the best. Yes, it's the best for you, but not for everyone else. Just like what you do for yourself by becoming empowered, as I look at my Power Ranger poster right here, the original Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. See, they have the word power, right? They need power now, right? Well, you don't need it right now. You got to start slowly, little steps, baby steps. You're going to crawl. Then you're going to pull yourself up. Then you're going to walk, and then you're going to walk, and then you're going to walk, and then you're going to run and run and run. Before you know it, your pants are falling down. And you're going to feel real good about yourself buying new clothes that are two or three sizes down from what you were 3 or 4 months previous to that, like now. So this is the season to get started, right? Everybody wants to look good in the beach, in the bathing suit, and at the pool. So get up, get out, get going. Start now. Go to bed hungry. Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pauper. Burn it off 30 to 60 minutes a day. Take a walk. But first, go to your doctor. Get a physical. Let your doctor know what you want to do. Simple walk. Find a place. No matter where you live, there's a place. Every school has a track. High school, most of them. Most of them do. I'd say all of them do, right? And so walk around there. 4 times is 1 mile. 8 times is 2 miles. Put the earbuds in. Raise your awareness. Smell the flowers coming up. Watch the birds coming back. If you go during after school, you'll see the kids working out and practicing their spring sports, if they let you on there. If not, go at 5 o'clock when they go home, all go home to get overwhelmed by what their evening awaits them, such as homework, and more homework. Not a lot of room for play. So everything's a bet. I want to know, what's mediocre? What's okay? What's fair? Not bad. Plain lousy. Just plain lousy. I love to see some of these food people when they say, taste them. Oh, my God, that's awful. Pwah! Right? Let's see some reality, because not everything is the best. So let's get away from that kind of cliche. And we have one that I was going to use tonight, because I am feeling a bit this way. I mentioned about some friendly phlegm that might pop up during the show. I'm under the weather. Well, I'm really not. I feel pretty good, and I sleep pretty good without too much sleepus interruptus. And I don't know what under the weather means, but he's not at work today. He's feeling a bit under the weather. She's a bit under the weather. Well, is it a bit, a lot, a little? I don't know. But what the hell is under the weather? You can't get on. You can get under a cloud. Yeah, you can lay there. You can't get too close to the sun, right? All those things that'll go wrong with you. And you don't want to be under the moon because it's at night. You might lay down and animals might come by and take a nip at you or something, especially if it's a full moon. So I don't know what under the weather is, where it comes from, and why in the world we continue to use it as one of our cliches. Ethics. We talked about ethics in expense accounts. People padding their expense accounts. Cheating, as we call it. Like we're going to talk about later. These, who are they? The three guys. The Secret Service just took a hit because the guys were caught partying, drinking, carousing, who knows what. And I'm sure they put it all on their expense account that we paid for. Now, are they any different from the Vegas shrimp cocktails or the $44 breakfast or the South American hookers that the people were paying for down there with our money, right? So the Secret Service is benching three of their agents for the drinking incident. What else is out there? Because if there's a little bit, there's a lot. When you find one of the two words you don't want to hear from anyone in business, especially if you're investing, are accounting irregularities. If there's one mistake, you got to find more and more and more, and that's when you follow the paper trail. So what are we doing with ethics? Office supplies that you take home from work and people who cheat on their time clocks at work, punching in, punching out, if you so do that. Now, a guy took 20 people to a well-known national, international fast food restaurant for some burgers that are filled with that slime, that pink slime that you've been reading about. So he goes there with the 20 people, and he wants to pay using a credit card. And the manager says, no, we don't take credit cards. We don't take checks, only cash. And there's an ATM machine in the building next door. So he was helpless. He didn't have the $250, I think it was, to pay for it. So he went and got the money from the ATM, came back, And the guy, and he said, look, here's your money. The guy said, don't give it to me here. Come around, let me come around out front and sit amongst the people out here with you and your 20 where there's no cameras. And he gave him the money, and we all know where that money went. More than likely, in the manager or the boss, whoever, the supervisor, in his pocket, right? That's called stealing. That's called cheating. That's called not good. That's unethical, right? Now, I'm sure the guy has bills to pay and all the other things, or he just needs some party money. But what we don't want to do is promote that. And the fellow who gave him the money had 20 people with him, and he was telling the story to the 20 people, and they were a bit outraged. What do we do? Go to the manager and rat him out? Or what? I don't know. That's a judgment call. Sometimes it's best to leave things go, and if he's going to, eventually they all get caught. Remember, just like with all the bullies, time wounds all heals. Time wounds all heal. And those folks who do that stuff are just a little bit shy of being the full-fledged bully, which I'm sure they are. And just like the guy who stole $460,000 in quarters from a room where the quarters from the parking meters in the town were gathered, in the count room, let's say, in a casino or in the basement of the church where they counted the money from the collections on Sunday. This guy stole, over a period of a couple of years, $460,000 worth of quarters. And his lawyer says, you know, it was just temptation. The guy couldn't resist. He was in a room with a lot of money. He was raising a family. As a result, he thought he would supplement his income with that by stealing. Now, how is he going to explain ethical behavior to his kid? Because parents or kids model parents, good and bad, especially behavior-wise. Remember that commercial, if the parent smokes, the kid smokes. If the parent drinks, the kid drinks. The parent uses drugs and alcohol, or I mentioned that. The kids are going to do it. If the parents are abusive, negligent, and never around, abandoning, then the kids are going to grow up that too. Because abused and molested people produce that in their kids. If you were abused and molested in any such way, which is a horrific thing, then chances likely that you're going to do the same thing down the line to someone else, right? More of an excuse, which, as we always say, excuses explain failure and reasons define success. So here's a guy that was tempted by temptation of the money. How many other folks are out there? Remember, accounting irregularities. When there's one, there's more. And every week, there's always somebody else embezzling something. I don't know who was in a position of fiduciary responsibility. Most of them just turn into douches because they take advantage of a situation and violate the trust that they've been given, even as a volunteer, which is why some people probably go into volunteer work to weasel their way into the Treasury Department to get their hands on the money. Right? And then they got caught out there with tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of money. I didn't mean it. I got bills to pay. We all do. Go out and work. Don't accumulate so many bills. If you don't need it, don't buy it. If you can't buy it with cash, don't buy it. Right? We talked about wasteful money. I did that seminar last week on life skills. Right? People waste their money. How much? Coffee every day, $4 at Starbucks. Pack of cigarettes a day, $8, etc., etc., etc. So I played ball tonight, and I'm hobbling a little bit. The foot, the wounded foot, is a little weak. But I played on, and I played on, and I got home in time to because I have an extended music concert based on YouTube. And thank everyone who puts that stuff on YouTube. I've added The Grapevine by that smooth, soulful singer Marvin Gaye, tragically taken out by an accident in the family. But I added Grapevine to all the great things that get me pumped, get me going. Right, music is my resource for energy, and also watching sports. I've been watching the NCAA basketball tournament, and all I want to do is play every day. Got washed out last weekend because we had some terrible rain weather, which is fine. You know, could use a day rest. And I'm hurting tonight, but you know what? The pain of not playing is far worse than any pain that I have learned to endure. So I'm gimping and limping tonight, and I hope I'll be back on Thursday. Right. Got the ankle to ice it and wrap it and so forth. And speaking of playing, you know, I'm 63, and most of the guys are in their 20s and 30s, a few 40s, and I'm out there. And it's a challenge every week to match me up with somebody they think I can cover. And there was doubt tonight, and I shut three guys down. Even though my team lost 7-6, my guy did not score a point. One guy did score one, but the other two games, he scored none. And I was able to get my good run in, my sweat, my burn, hanging out with the guys, talking sports, trying to figure out where DeSean Jackson's going to go. We're going to miss him in Philly. That's my team. The Eagles fly, Eagles fly. We go green, and that's what's coming out of our blood. We bleed green, as we do for Ohio University and our beloved Bobcats. But speaking of sports and how much an impact that it can have, as a cliche, impact, how wonderful it is, how creative it can be. Watch this. LeBron from the Heat, with the team called timeout, and three different guys came up to him. One took his mouthpiece, one gave him a towel, one gave him a Gatorade. That's three jobs, right? That's great. And all the other things that happen out there. Now, we met a guy over the weekend. We were in Hershey, Pennsylvania to watch the Hershey Stampede versus those great guys from Columbus, Georgia on the Columbus Lions. Shout out to Brandon and Jermaine. These are great guys, a lot of fun, a lot of energy. It was a 20-hour bus ride. And you're asking, why the heck are me and my wife driving 3 hours out to Hershey, almost 4 hours out to Hershey, on a rain-soaked weekend? Well, we have a sort of family connection who works for the Columbus Lions part-time, and we wanted to go see that family member and enjoy the time with her, and even though it was minimized by what? A 20-hour one-way bus ride from Columbus to Hershey. 20 hours in a berth bus that I never heard of. Not seats. They had a berth. Not Bertha, a berth. So these guys are big, massive men, all played college football. And we made friends with a couple of them in the lobby of the hotel, just talking about them and what they're doing. They were in awe that someone as far away from New Jersey would drive out here to see them play. And we told them why. And they said, that's even great because... She's such a great, valuable member of our team. She takes great, great care of us with all our aches and pains, as she does for her daddy as well. So we were out there, and we were with them at night, a few of them. We saw them come in on the bus, and they were ragged, smelly, stinky, tired, achy, bored, frustrated. Then they had to play a game the next day at 3 in the afternoon and get up at 12 to go over and warm up, practice, and so forth. But these are guys. It's arena football. I think it's 9-on-9, right? Maybe they have 25 guys on the team. And it's indoor, played on a hockey arena turf field floor that they retrofit for the football game. And we sat on the second row, and the energy and the excitement and the passion and the trash talking and the skill, the athletic ability, and the love that these guys have for what they do, probably making a few bucks. You know, not only was it 20 hours up, it was 20 hours back down. So on a 48-hour weekend, 40 of it was spent in a bus because the bus company messed up and didn't put two bus drivers in because by law, the bus driver can only, I think, drive 6 or 8 hours and he has to have a break for 4 or 5 hours to sleep. Whatever the rule is, they should have had two and they only had one, so it took an extended period of time. And the game is exciting. There's a lot of action, but the best are the guys being together, being out there, competing, doing what they love to do. They're not young men, you know, mid-20s, late-20s, 30s, 40s, still doing it, what they love. Working all week, practicing maybe once or twice a week with families, with jobs, with responsibilities, but they're finding time to continue to pursue their passion, their love. Sports is a great outlet. It's a great way to fight boredom. You got something to talk about, something to do, something to look forward to. In my book, things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. Sports is a big part of it. Also art, music, dance, volunteering, clubs and organizations to join. It's all in there. Find what is your passion. Find what gives you power and empowerment and go pursue it and go do it. Because you know what? You'll feel good about yourself because you're doing what you love to do. Not what you have to do, what you love to do. And that's great to see these guys doing. And I told them. I told a couple of them that I met. You know, it was funny. We sat second row, and we could hear them, and we were cheering, go Lions, go Lions. And they're looking at us like, who the heck are you guys? After the game, We went down into the locker room. We snuck our and snaked our way through, and the security was cool. Not that it was big security. Yeah, go, because we told them we were part of the team because we had an affiliation with the team. And the owners of the team were there. They came by. They were very sorry for the inconvenience of the travel. It was awful. And they were appreciative. There was, pizza to eat, no gourmet buffet, just pizza and a Gatorade and back on the bus for the 20-hour trip back. But the guys were down there, and they came up to us, and they were giving us, we were talking to them, told them who we were, why we came, and so forth. They were so appreciative. They were so grateful for having someone there to say, good game, nice job, way to go. We're proud of you. And we are. We were. They were very exciting and very excited to have foreigners, strangers. And you know what? Most of the guys are black, and they're going around giving us hugs. Now, they towered over us. They were careful not to crush us, right? But they were reaching out to us. Handshakes, pounds, taps. I got a chest bump or two, right? I was wearing an Auburn University hat. I got a couple of War Eagles. I got me two War Eagles over the weekend there and at a restaurant we went to afterwards. Because when you wear your colors, people are out there. You never know where they're at. So show your pride. Don't show off stuff you're not. Because then people say, did you go there? Nah, I just like the color. Yeah. No. Have an affiliation with something. Stay connected. That's why a lot of people are retiring or moving to college towns, because they offer so much. Culture, art, music, theater, classes, opportunities, right? And there's always energy with the youth. So the bus, the coach told us, he called the bus company. You know what the bus company said? We're sorry. My bad. We're sorry. No different than the sorry. Now, when you say sorry like that, you're actually describing a character flaw. Something's missing. Like, sorry doesn't cut it. Saying sorry to these guys, how about, how do you give these guys back 15 hours of their life by saying sorry? And of course, when you say sorry, oh yeah, well, we forgive you. And you're going to do it again. Remember, when you watch your forgiveness, the way you dole it out, when you forgive somebody, they're going to do it again, right? And deeply sorry, not just sorry, but deeply sorry. And a meta message, a meta character flaw, a message about the message. I'm sorry, and now I'm deeply sorry. A meta message came from the GM chief, whose answers on the car recall at GM. I'm sorry, deeply sorry. How's she going to give those families their people back that were killed in those crashes that they knew about? What kind of sorry is that? You can't put a price on that, and I'm sure they'll settle for a lot of money, not go to court, and GM will move on and move ahead with their business, which is fine. But how do you sit there and say you're sorry when you knew you could have done something about it? How deep does the bottom line have to go? What is the price of human life? Right? Really nothing when you boil it down. And they'll settle. The lawyers will love it. They'll get big fees. And life will go on. Sad when sorry is the thing that is said. Right? Sebelius said, I'm sorry when Obamacare crashed. And now he's got 7.1 million people signed up. I don't know where that number miraculously came from, and the website didn't crash with the last minute or last second or last day or two influx of subscribers. I express my sincerest apology. That does nothing. That just opens it up for people to feel sorry for you, so they'll offer you their forgiveness. Sorry. Watch how you use it. Anyway, just like I talked about LeBron providing jobs and opportunity, at halftime, Marcus Colston, who's a professional receiver and a great one. He's in the top of his game, top of his field, is a gentleman. He came out at halftime, dressed professionally, and 100 or 200 little kids, youth, came and paraded around the stadium, and he shook every kid's hand. Every kid got a handshake from Marcus Colston. Now, what we hear is he owns the Hershey team. Maybe it's the Harrisburg thing. I think, but he's a local kid that did well, very successful, very well known, very famous. But he looks like a quiet guy that doesn't want the limelight. You know, his passion comes out on the field of play. But back here, he was like secondary to the kids. He was promoting and supporting them, right? And all I wanted to do was reach out and give him a handshake or a tap, even a chest pound, a hug, whatever you want to call it, some kind of gesture to show my appreciation for what a professional person does, giving back to his community. And had we not been there, we'd never know about it. The locals know because they were telling us. but he provides jobs. He owns that team and pays the bills for all the staff and the players and the coaches, and he provides jobs for the people who work at the arena where they play, right? So that's one guy doing something good for maybe hundreds of people, giving them an opportunity to make a few bucks. And one guy who was working the sideline, the chains as they call it, he had this big fancy ring on. I said, man, where'd you get that? We won the championship last year, and then they lowered the banner at halftime as well. And when we were downstairs meeting the players in person, up front and personal, some of them were coming out into the lobby or into the hallway to grab some pizza and to cool off, wrapped in their shower towel around their waist and other parts. And others were walking around in their underwear and were very apologetic. I'm sorry, excuse you for seeing me like this, but we don't care. We're just like you, right? We're the same. We wear underwear too, and we walk around our house in underwear as well. So don't feel embarrassed or shame. We appreciate what you do. We respect you. We want to show our gratitude for you by being here and supporting you. So appreciative of these guys. But one guy creates jobs, just as LeBron does, and others like him create jobs, right? And there's a new respect for arena football because I had not been around it before. And it was just a great experience. And they play it for the love of the game and all that jazz. Similar to Bob Fosse and all his jazz. Now, veterans. We always talk about veterans. And if you see a veteran, thank a veteran. By the way, if you want to call in the show here, the number at bbsradio.com is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you'd like to send me an email, the email is hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. I've heard from some of you. I'd like to hear from a lot more. What do you have to say? Most people affirm for me for what we're doing on the show and what we're trying to do to empower people and get them to think and see the goodness out there, even though there's a lot of things that are not so good, right? And that's what we talked about, the good and the bad, because life is balanced. You want more good things in your life than bad things. And you're going to have more bad things in your life, like failures or non-successes or setbacks or letdowns. The question is, what are you doing? Are you learning from them, pulling yourself up, out, and going, and doing something about it to turn that negative into a learning experience, to make it a positive? Yes, you are. When you're empowered, you think critically, you know how to fight boredom, and you're a kid and know how to laugh and play. That's what you do. My passion for the veterans, my website, www.connectwithveterans.com, www.connectwithveterans.com. My passion is fueled for it because I am a veteran, and I know there's a lot of veterans out there in need. My website is a place where people can go and register with their name and phone number and email or whatever else you want to put in there, and where you served, when you served, what rank you were, any nicknames you had, anything special about you that can help you reconnect with your buddies. All the way back, whatever time in service, peacetime, wartime, past, present, and where you can meet your buddies, because nothing is like being with them, seeing them, Skyping with them in person, over the computer, on the phone, through Facebook, through email, whatever you want to do to connect. This is where the pool can concentrate. The registration fee, $25 to register and $10 annual. Two things happen to the money. One, it helps me offset a little bit of the cost for the website, because I do pay for everything myself. And I'm glad to do it, but I want to try to recapture some of the upfront expense. And all the other money is going to deserving vets and family. So if you know a vet, have them sign up. Tell a friend. Tell a vet. Get everybody set up. Let's get thousands and thousands of our veterans signed up. Because you know what? Medication and therapy doesn't always work. We stop taking the meds and we stop going to group. And we need to talk to be with our buddies, the ones who we shared so much common ground with, to survive that time in the military. And it was fueled the other night, as I said for the third time, my passion, because I saw a news show, and the guy was saying that there are 4,500 homeless veteran women. 4,500 homeless veteran women. Almost half of them have been sexually assaulted while they were serving in the military. These women need help. We can't give them their life back, but we can give them some pride and some dignity and a little boost to help them get going or to help support them. That's where the money's going. We're not buying houses or cars. We'll help what we can. If there's that much money, we'll buy. Absolutely. And we'll find them. I will seek them out. I will find them. And maybe with your help, we can. Maybe you know somebody who needs some help. But we can't do anything without the funding. I'm not asking. This is all about veterans helping veterans help themselves. That's the fundraising. We're not going for grants. We're not going for loans. We're not going hustling businesses and corporations and companies. They don't want to hear from us. They just say, well, go to the Wounded Warriors. Well, the guy at the Wounded Warrior makes over $300,000 a year, the guy who runs it. What's he giving back? What do they do? I know they do things. And I'm not about the onion that you see on TV when the little girl is in kindergarten and they're doing their lesson and all of a sudden from the door opens and here comes mommy or daddy in uniform back from the Middle East war. And there's a hugs and tears and so forth and it makes you feel good. I'm not about that. I'm about helping people help, veterans helping veterans help themselves. If they want to go on and display their joy, that's fine. I like to do things from behind the scenes and have it happen for those in need. And that's what we want to do. So that's the website. Trouble sleeping, folks? You know, all the good habits. This is an article in a newspaper by a doctor, a well-known doctor in a university hospital. And he talked about sleeping. He said, don't take a nap and maintain a schedule. And if you don't sleep within the next 30 minutes, get out of bed and do something relaxing and avoid caffeine and all the cliche things that we've heard. Nowhere does it say, hey, how about some laughter? Right? Stop watching the black rectangular brainwashing box before you go to bed, laying in bed with all those cop and gangster shows and all the bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up and all, and laugh. Put on a silly movie. Listen to a clean comic who's not touching his crotch all night or other body parts. Laugh. Your brain secretes all those good feeling things. You'll go to bed smiling. My wife and I watch The Big Bang Theory because we just love it. It's entertaining and informative, and we laugh. And then we go off to sleep, right? Because we feel good about ourselves. We feel good about ourselves. We're not getting images of negative behavior. We don't want to see bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up. So nowhere in this advice for treatments for insomnia does it say laugh. It does not say that at all. But you can do that when you're empowered and not listen to the cliches that are out there, like I just read from this, you know, on get regular exercise, right? Not within 3 to 4 hours of bedtime. Well, you get pumped up. I used to play a lot of racquetball 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I'd be wired till 2. But I was young. I didn't care. Even when I play ball now, you know, if I stay late, like on Thursdays, I'm up for a couple hours beyond my regular bedtime. Don't eat meals before you go to bed. Go to bed hungry. That's good for your diet. So forth. But it doesn't say anything about laughter. It doesn't say anything about being silly. It doesn't say anything about being a kid. Throw your pillows around. Kick your blankets off. Do bouncies on the bed. Do something. You'll laugh. Go to bed, you're getting silly. That's what we told the kids. You know what? Maybe we should listen to them because kids know best. That's why they're kids, right? That's why they're kids. The power of definition. While riding out on the highways over the weekend, we saw a sign that said, luxury townhouses from $200,000. I thought to myself, what's luxury about a $200,000 townhouse when I had read in the newspaper the previous day that they were selling luxury condominiums or apartments somewhere in the big city for $3 million, right? Now, it's like everything else, power of definition. Whoever made the billboard is telling you that their 270 or whatever it was, 300,000 house was luxury. But as opposed to the person selling the $3 million luxurious living quarters in the city. Power of definition, right? That's why I said before, I don't recommend movies or restaurants because my definitions and tastes and preferences are different than everyone else. The power of one, right? While driving on the highways, people are accelerating beyond the limit, even though 65 is a pretty good speed to go. I didn't say pretty good clip, good, pretty good speed. Clip would be cliche-ish. Although once a patrol car is seen, parked, visible, or just a little hidden, and you don't see them until you're on top of them, all you do is see the red brake lights come on. No matter what time of day, everybody slows down, and the power of one controls traffic. I remember being on I-95 in Florida, and traffic was moving very fast, you know, when it was the drug capital of the world down there, going from one county to the next. And there was one police car, a state trooper, I guess, and he was just pacing everybody. He slowed down to, the, at the time, 55 speed limit there, and everybody else did. He got off the exit, and everybody took off. Little did they know, by, before the next exit, there were several police cars right there waiting with the radar guns and so forth. So the power of one. I've often said, in fact, I might have written them a letter saying, listen, just put a police car on the side of the road. Just have them there. You don't need a person in there. Put a dummy in there or something. And maybe have the light flashing. People will slow down. And if you do that every few miles, you'll have better management and control of the traffic without using actual manpower, people power, and time to do so. You can fake them out. A friend of mine had a clothing store, and to avoid pilfering or taking things without permission, which we call stealing, I think, I'm getting kind of nasal now because it's cold down here in the beautiful basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawas Station, and I'll probably start having some friendly phlegm soon, but bear with me, and I'm trying to stay warm down here, although I am bundled up. The power of one can do a lot, right? Even though it might be unethical and some people might say it's entrapment, what you want to do is crowd control. You want to have people who are in control, because when you're in control, folks, you win. Whatever it is, you are empowered. I am in control, because the pitcher who can't find a strike zone, he lost his control. He's out in the first inning taking a shower, right? God forbid you lose control of your car. Not religious, but you lose control of your car, you're out, right? What happened? Lost control. You lose control with your anger management that you didn't learn how to deal with when you were a kid, or you're the bully and just power your way through everything. Wrong use of the word power. Shove your way through life, stomping on people because you're weak yourself, right? That's no good. That's not the power of one. That's the bully. And remember, as we said, the bully, time wounds, all heals. Time wounds, all heals. Have you ever seen, this is a point to ponder, and when we were driving on the highways often, we see a way station. I've never seen one open. Are they there just to fake us out, to get the truckers to think that, oh, no, I got to stop, I don't have to stop, am I loaded, am I overloaded, am I underway? I don't know. What's the point of having them if they're not used? And I'm sure they're used somehow, and there's a schedule for them. But I've driven all night, all day, 24 hours straight many years ago, and I've never seen one open. Never seen. The only time I see the trucks lined up is at the rest stop late at night waiting to venture into the city and navigate their way through the highway. By the way, those guys, them truckers, them good old boys from all over these here United States of America on traveling on interstate highways built by Dwight David Eisenhower, great president after World War II, who played a great game of golf, but he had those highways built. He's a good old boy, and those good old boys driving them, they used to have their CBs to communicate and all. They're out there, and they earn their money, not so much traveling the highway, but when they get into tight situations. I've seen them. You've seen them, too, backing into a parking stall in an inner city, in the middle of the city. They're backing in to the loading dock, Archie Bunker's loading dock. And what exactly are oxidants, and why do we need antioxidants? Are oxidants bad? It sounds like it has oxygen in it. I don't know what it is. I gotta find out from Dr. Oz. And I think he has a comma after Oz because he is the Wizard of Oz. We have a new member of our team here called Oogelbert. Oogelbert. Who's the Oogelbert? Well, there's a lot of crazies out there, and when you see them, well, you're gonna go, I can't believe that you're doing that. Right, the Oogelbert. Remember we talked about it. You got to get the crazies off the street and put them away, out of harm's way, out of our way, so our kids can play, right? And let the weed people out, which is going to have, Holder has some work in progress, some changes in the law, because if there's a problem with the law, you change it if it is good for everybody, and if the money's distributed to enough people in the right positions to make those decisions, right? Put the weed people back on the street. Give them some Malamars, a little Fantasia, and some Spangle music, and they'll be fine. So I heard a great April Fool's thing. You know, I'm not into this April Fool stuff. Goes, what fool gonna call me a fool, fool? Right? That sounds better when I'm not so nasally. An April Fool thing. Kids told me this. High school kids told me this. One kid told me that in his school, it was out in the farm part of the state, they took three pigs and released them in the school building. And they painted numbers on their bodies. They painted a 1, a 2, and a 4. And the whole day was spent looking for pig number 3. Now, that's a beautiful thing there, boys and girls. That's wonderful. Yeah, it was probably inappropriate, and those pigs probably soiled all over the school, and people were slipping and sliding all over chasing them. But it was fun, and guess where it came from? Kids. You could sit there all day and Google everything to find out April Fool's things. But you're going to get your best results when you deal with kids, when they give you the information. Right? We have some new words to add to our list. Functionality, athleticism, radicalization. I heard that the other day. It's so big, it's hard for my mouth to say it, even with my dental situation. Verticality. He has great verticality. The functionality of this tool is wonderful. His athleticism is second to none but her athleticism. And the radicalization, I have no idea, because radical goes back to the days of the hippies. And when all the radicals were protesting everything, as we learned, the protesters are usually right. It just takes a generation for others to get the word, right? Just think of what's going on in Russia right now. By the way, what's going on over there? I don't know, but Putin's got Crimea, which gives him the water access, and now he's going to inland to get to Ukraine and all of this stuff, and they're probably going to team up with Russia and say, listen, America's fat, drugged out, half of them are in recovery. They don't know what they're doing over there. Prime for takeover. Right? We can get them. Because all they're doing is watching their TVs and their iPads and their iPhones and their and they're just technologically superior to everybody, they think. But we've got them brainwashed. So let's be careful out there, America. Let's shut off our electronics. Let's get up, get out, get going, learn to play. Not learn, play. Go back to being a kid and play and laugh. Laugh, 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 especially before you go to bed. Especially before you go to bed. Right? So, we wanted to get, I hate that segue, so. There was a girl who shaved her head in a school to show respect for one of her pals who was suffering with cancer. And of course, the school did the right thing, right? The school did the right thing. They sort of suspended her, right? She was asked, she couldn't go to school until her hair grew back, right? And the school voted to let her return after the mom, the parent, the strength in the neighborhood took, but they got nothing else to do but worry about a girl with a shaved head or a kid with a shaved head. What's wrong with that? They should have had dozens of people do the same thing. They do it all the time for a fundraiser. Let's have a fundraiser. Ever see a fundraising event like a 5K or a 10K? All the vendors are out there pushing the healthy things loaded with sugar, fat, calories, and so forth, and tote bags and frisbees and umbrellas and medallions if you win in your category and so forth. But it's all for a fundraiser, right? Instead of just going to people, listen, could you give us $10 for this? We got to put on an event. Everything is an event. It's just not, and that's why there's so many event planners. They make a living doing that because we just have to have an excuse, really, when you look at it. Not a reason, but an excuse to go be part of something when we can't do anything on our own. If you read my book and listen to my words on bbsradio.com every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time, you'll hear about ways to empower yourself and fight boredom, the enemy of us all. Oh, my goodness. I just want to go over some recovery notes, right? Oh, wait, let's do some differences. Difference, right? The difference, we've had differences between men and women, boys and girls moving into a dorm, offensive and defensive linemen, house and a home, enable and empower. Here's a difference between mom and dad, right? You're going to say to mom, and my kids have done this, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm hot, can I have whatever? I want to watch whatever. Where are you? Can you ask dad, can you help me? He hurt me, she hurt me. I want to go there. When are we getting there? Why are we going here? Why can't we, boom? That's all the questions you ask mom, the real people responsible for the control, management, and nurturing of our kids. What we ask dad, what am I asked all the time? Me too, and not all the time, but many times, and maybe other dads are too. You know what they ask us? One question, where's mom? That's where they leave us. Recovery, before we go. Recovery, you're going to be in it the rest of your life, right? That's half the battle. Internalize that. Respect it and understand it, right? The other half, maintenance and support. Go to groups. Find somebody in your life who will support you and be there for you when the times get rough, right? And actually, if you are empowered, you critically think, you learn to fight boredom, you're a kid and learn to play again, you won't have to worry about the support. You will support yourself. What's better than doing that? Right? You can't do it by yourself, so you need the support. You empower yourself. We talked about that. Do the little things that don't enable you, but empower you. Offer reasons, not excuses. Face your truth. It's painful, but do it. Once you do it, you're on your way to success. Fight boredom, the enemy of us all. We talked about that. And lastly, we always talk about laugh, play, be a kid. It's okay. You love life as a kid. Doing kid things never felt so good. So go and do some. We're closing on out. This is Marty Ford. Tonight we did raise more hell than the alligators did when the pond went dry. And we'll leave you with this one thought. Power up your power, because the power is in you.